High noon here on Jones and Keefe. It's a Patriots Monday on WEEI. We've been taking your phone calls all day long, 617-779-7937. Patriots fall 15-10 yesterday here at Gillette Stadium. We talked to Hunter Henry, we talked to Christian Gonzalez, and we're joined now by another member of the New England Patriots, Devon Godchow, Patriots defensive lineman, joins us here. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Devon Godchow, how are we doing this week?
Doing good. How about yourself?
We're doing well. We know it was another tough result for you guys yesterday, 1-4 now. We heard Gerard Mayo come out after the game and say defense did their job, special teams did their job, we need a little more out of the offense. Would you agree with that assessment?
The head coach said, I definitely agree with it. I thought the defense probably could have held the last drive, from the touchdown. It was tough. We were going to field, I think, 17 plays. Special teams has been doing good for like the last 3 weeks, probably just beginning of the season. They've been playing lights out. Defense probably just like, but if we can like clean up like the last drive. But we was able to get the ball back to the offense. We stopped them in a 4-minute situation. He was able to get the ball back to them, got to put points on the board. Just got to find a way to finish these games, man. Because same results each and every week. So close, but at the end of the day, wins and losses.
Last week you were telling us how you thought some of the guys on defense were playing a little selfishly. That obviously got addressed. Do you feel like it was different and changes were made for yesterday?
Yeah, it was big changes, big results. We played as a good defense yesterday, but not good enough to win. We still came up short. A lot of guys was locked in, doing their part. So we contained the quarterback pretty good. That was a really, really good game plan, the elusive quarterback in Huntley. We shut down the passing game for the most part. Got some little leakage in the run game, but at the end of the day, they only scored 15 points. So let's not act like, they was running the ball, sometimes successfully, but let's not act like they put up 40 points. They put up 15 points.
Why do you think the message landed this week when it didn't in the past? Were there any extra steps you took to make sure that message landed this week?
Yeah, this is kind of like being a voice. I'm normally, not like a big speaker. I'm normally like, lead more with my actions. But I think just kind of like just stepping up and just kind of speaking to the team and just, thinking of some things we can get right. Just trying to, win a division game, which was yesterday against Miami that we fell short on. But just, just taking accountability, we all just need to do more and do better, because, we're not getting the results that, we're like, So I guess it's just going to start another week of preparation and, start on it's going to start today with, reviewing the film and getting better from it and, starting back on Wednesday, getting ready for Houston, who's, red hot right now.
Yeah, taking on the Houston Texans next week. But first, just with the Miami game, did you guys feel as though, you'd made – it seemed like you stopped them passing the ball. You even had a great pass deflection in there. But then they decided to run it. And I'm with you. They didn't score a ton of points. But was there more kind of urgency to get off the field considering, they were able to still run for close to 200 yards on the ground?
Yeah. Well, they schemed some stuff up pretty good. That's really all they could try to do is run the ball. The passing game was pretty much taken away. Make no excuse about it. They came in and, pretty much the game was controlled by us all four quarters. So you take the last, like 4 to 5 minutes of the fourth quarter away, and, I think we're, it's a different result. We just got to find a way to finish games. Like I said, we started off, with an offense gave us 10 points. We started off, dominating the game on defense. And, I feel like we did that for the most of four quarters until like the last 4 minutes of the game. And, they was able to sneak in a fullback dive and score. It's really no excuse for it. They scored. We lost the game. That's really all I can put it.
12 penalties as a team for 105 yards. And not to make excuses, but some of those penalties just didn't seem like great calls, and I'm always curious with defensive players what you guys are taught when it comes to hitting the quarterback, because you can't hit him high, you can't hit him low, you can't land on him. Like, how do you still get the quarterback down while also avoiding all of those things?
It's tough. The quarterback stuff is always tough because you think you're doing it right, but then you're doing it wrong. pull the quarterback down to the ground. You got to make sure there's no body weight on him, but you kind of risk an injury of yourself, tweaking the knee the wrong way, you know, trying to twist off a sack. You know, so it's kind of tough, man. Those rules are, you know, I'll leave those rules to the NFL to get fixed, because they're kind of tough, especially when you got a 300-pounder coming in to get a sack. You know, you expect this guy not to, you know, trying to control his body going down. It's tough, you know. So hopefully we can get those rules fixed.
Talking to Patriots defensive lineman Devon Godchow here on a Patriots Monday. Jones and Keefe live at Gillette Stadium here on WEEI. There was a report last week of the locker room teetering on a mutiny. A number of your teammates have shot that down. I don't know how you feel about that report.
I don't know where that comes from. That's false.
Okay, so it's false. So how would you describe the mood in the locker room right now?
You know, everybody, you know, you're going to be disappointed after a loss, but, I mean, it's what you're going to do after. You know, I thought we took a better step forward from last week's San Fran game, you know, a better step with Miami, and it's just got to keep getting better and better. You know, we're not good enough to you know, you're never good enough to relax, but we're definitely not good enough to just relax and just say, you know, we got all the answers and stuff like that. You know, we got to get better, you know, and it starts in practice. It starts with, you know, taking accountability, you know, being honest with yourself, looking yourself in the mirror, and you just telling yourself what you can get better on, you know. You know, I know this is a good football team, you know, but like I said, we just don't have the results to show that, you know. So it's easy for me to sit up here and say that, but, you know, we don't really have no actions to put towards me saying that, you know. So it's frustrating for us, but, you know, the work you put in, you know, you want to pay off, but you just not saying those results right now.
I'm not sure if you guys have had your squad meeting yet, but Jerod Mayo said today he was going to address the team in a squad meeting as it relates to the quarterback. Would you welcome a change at quarterback?
That's whatever the coaches, you know, L.A. Wolf and those guys decide. You know, those guys get paid way over my pay grade. So that's those guys' decisions, you know. They make those decisions. Whoever's at the quarterback, we're going to roll with them. Whether it's Jacoby or Drake, you know, whoever's there, we're going to roll with them as our, you know, as our quarterback. So it really doesn't matter. July's going to make that decision. I don't know. You know, he's going to make that as soon as he's ready, you know. So that's a question for us. That's a question for July, for sure.
Regardless of what the decision is, what has Drake May been like going up against him in practice? I know he's been running with the ones a little bit, but also running some of the scout team stuff against you guys. So how has he looked over the last month at practice?
You know, when you have a rookie like that, you know, you just want him to keep continuing to grow and get better and learn, you know, because, last, you know, like some of the great quarterbacks have been, you know, started their rookie year. So when you have a guy like that, you know, behind Jacoby, behind our starting quarterback, you know, you just want him to keep learning and have a positive attitude. You know, just keep coming to work each and every day. And the results will come. The results are sure. As long as you put the work in and put the effort in, the results will come. So you just kind of want to see him keep that positive, level-headed, and stay humble, and just continue to be a learner and, you know, and be a great follower. And the results will come.
I'm trying to make out what I can hear some music going on in the back. What are you guys listening to?
I don't know, I'm in the training room right now. They listen to like a little jam right now, trying to get the positive vibe going around.
Nice. Who's in charge of who gets to be in charge of the music in the locker room?
It's pretty much, you know, whoever wants to be in charge. You know, probably not a rookie, but it's pretty much one of the older, you know, veteran guys. Sometimes I play music, sometimes Jawan Bentley, you know, it just depends, you know. We got different guys being the ox every now and then.
Okay. Devon Godchow, Patriots defensive lineman, joins us here on a Patriots Monday. Best of luck this week against the Texans, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Appreciate
Devon Godchow.
Thank you.
He's brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the New England Patriots. You were in charge of some music at home, right?
No. Sometimes? I tried to.
Sometimes.
We got pushed back pretty quickly. It's swiftly.
Yeah, I was just like sneaking a song.
It was all like Hate Breed and like God of Lamb or Lamb of God. I mean, it was like all insane stuff, and nobody liked that. I thought that'd be what the team would want to get ready. They're like, we're not playing this.
No, we're not. This is not what we're doing here.
Two, three songs max, and then we're done.
All right. Well, we've been promising we get to some of your phone calls here. We've been revisiting Jerod Mayo. We've been talking to a number of members of the Patriots. Let's go to Kelly in Amherst. What's going on, Kelly?
What's up, guys? First off, Jones and Keith, best 1-2 combo since Warrick Dunn and Mike Allstott.
Who's who? I need an answer on who's who. Who's Warrick Dunn? Who's Mike
Allstott? I knew
Allstott?
You would ask. Well, my friend, you are the Thunder. I'm going to say that you are the Mike Allstott. You still have the speed.
Nice.
But Keith is the speedy speedster who also has a little Thunder on his own.
That's
I did a call to talk 90s football, though. I called to talk about this terrible Pats team. Look, I was one of the people who said don't play the new guy, give him some time. I'm softening on that. Not like I didn't expect them to be bad, but they're so bad that my thought is this. If he comes out there and sucks, nobody can blame him because we've already seen that even with the other guy, they suck. He might get hurt a little bit, but at least his ego, his reputation won't get destroyed. I say play him. Now's the time.
Okay, that's a change from Kelly.
I love that. Yeah. So that's somebody, because there was, it was more split than you and I thought it ever would be. There were a lot of people that thought, all right,
last week,
protect the guy.
The Greg Hill Show did a poll, yeah. And it was 50-50.
Staggering.
They should not play Drake. Like, it was a slight favoring among those sampled not to play Drake May, which was staggering. But Kelly sounds like one of those who is
changing his tune.
Changing
his tune. Well, there's a big difference if I was like, oh, they're 1-4. It's like, all right, they're 1-4, but they're the Bengals, and they're scoring 38 points a game,
right.
And they have a great quarterback, and like they just need to figure it out. Whereas you look like that. Like, that was a tough go. That's a tough watch for people for 3 hours at home, or you're coming into the stadium or whatever. So if you were dead set against Drake May, I could see changing your tune. There's nothing wrong with that if you want to change your mind. Feel free.
You were very happy with being Warrick Dunn. I thought you were going to be more angry that you weren't Mike
Gustav. No. I was Warrick Dunn. I was a big Warrick Dunn fan. I liked Florida State for some reason as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, he was one of the reasons.
Charlie Ward.
He and Charlie Ward.
Yeah, I like Charlie Ward as well. Okay. You were too happy with Warrick Dunn. I thought I got the big win over there.
I'm not a fullback. You were very Andy Hart lane. I'm not a fullback guy.
Yeah, Mike Alsat wasn't like your typical fullback.
I'm like a quick little running back.
He wasn't your typical fullback.
He was a fullback.
Yeah, he was rumbling, bumbling, stumbling.
Did he have a neck roll?
I think so. Goatee? Do you have a goatee?
Probably some of the years. That's when he's angry.
Yeah.
Only when he's angry, Mike Alstar.
I'm very pleased with that. 617-779-7937. Who are Keith and myself like? We'll continue to take those suggestions.
You want to talk 90s football. I mean, the Patriots look like they did in the 90s.
I mean, look, it's
early
90s. It's as bad as it's been since the early 90s. Mike Reese's words, not mine. Rock bottom. They're 1-4 in back-to-back years for the first time since 92-93, which should give you some perspective on where we're at. It's probably why we're teetering, we think, on the brink of a quarterback change. Adam Schefter certainly believes that could be the case. So we have more on that at 617-779-7937. And we should get to Jeremy Swayman. Now officially a Boston Bruin.
God. What a journey.
For the long term. What a journey that indeed, was. Keith. 8 years, $8.25 million. AAV is the contract. We have thoughts on it with all your Patriots phone calls right after Trending with Billy Lane. Patriots Monday at Gillette Stadium. It's Jones and Keith here on WEEI. I will take a brief Patriots breather here. We'll get back to your phone calls, 617-779-7937. You want to talk Pats all day long? It's a spot to do it, but we got to get to Jeremy Swayman.
Yes.
We've been covering this story now for weeks. It's a saga, if you ask him.
It really has been.
An absolute Shakespearean saga.
Yeah.
For Jeremy Swayman, who, in my opinion, the Bruins caved to and gave him 8 years, $8.25 million, $66 million over 8 years. We can give you all the details on the contract if you want, but I guess the too long didn't read version is I think the Bruins bent the knee a little bit to do what they had to do to get Jeremy Swayman out there because things were looking real bad between player and team, real ugly between player and team. The season could start tomorrow in Florida, weather permitting. We've got another hurricane in the area, so we'll see what goes on in the next 24 hours or so. But you're about to drop the puck on your season, and you're staring down Corpy, Jonas Korpisalo, to start the year. And the Bruins didn't want to do it, so they bent the knee.
No,
that's what I
think. They did. I think they saw preseason Korpisalo, and I think that helped. That helped Swayman anyway quite a bit. I also think Cam Neely might have cost the team a couple of million bucks when he went rogue. At least I assume he went rogue and was saying we got 64 million reasons to be playing if I was Swayman. Well, he didn't sign for 64. He signed for 66, right? So I was like, hockey money is so much different. Like, this whole contract for Swayman, which is a big hockey contract, I think Jaylen Brown makes next year. Like, I think that basically, like, give or take, like, he's going to take that home next year. But, no, Swayman won this. You know, there were a lot of people that were saying, like, all right, give him in the sixes, maybe seven, hasn't won a Vezina, hasn't won a Stanley Cup. Like, what are you doing? And he wanted in the nines, he wanted 10, like, or that's what he was asking for. And then he ends up getting 8.25 after Neely was stamping his feet and saying eight per year. It almost felt like they weren't going to budge. And I wonder if this was Sweeney. Because Sweeney seemed more level-headed than Cam did.
For sure.
I wonder
we said last week, I'm sure when Neely revealed the numbers, Sweeney, you know, in some way, shape, or form was like,
yeah,
what are we doing?
No, I think Sweeney was probably saying, look, we got to get this thing done. We already traded away Ullmark. You see who we have left right now. We can't really go into a season with a good team and have Corpusalo in net for 50-plus games. Like, we can't do it. And also, even if they waited a month to sign him, all right, when's Swayman ready to go? When is Swayman, like, in midseason form? Like, all that stuff. So I think they didn't want to let the season slip away. And they budged. I think the Bruins budged off it.
Me too.
Because I had been hearing, and it was pretty much confirmed by Neely, they weren't going to go north of 8. So they go slightly north of 8, makes Swayman feel a little bit better about himself, makes it feel like this process wasn't a complete waste of time. He and his agent can look at it as a win. The team can now say, all right, we paid you a little bit more than we wanted, but now you better go out there and be a top-five goalie. Like, now the pressure is all on Swayman after all this.
Yeah, and look, I think he will be. Like, I'm very confident in Swayman going out and having a good year, even if there's some rust to start.
Yeah, there will be.
You know, like that, I don't know how he's going to start. But I think he'll be a top-five goalie. I think he is a top-five goalie in the league. I think he deserves every penny of this, and I think he won the negotiation. And, like, I got a lot of pushback yesterday on Twitter. I tweeted that out. I said, huge win for Swayman.
I agree.
Bruins butchered this for years and wound up paying for it. Good for him. And I think they did butcher it for years with him. They could have signed a bridge deal in any of the last few years, and they wouldn't have had to be paying him $8.25 million, which they clearly don't want to do.
No.
They clearly... didn't want to go there. They went there. They held their nose and went there, probably because they gave up all their leverage by trading Ullmark. And, you know, certainly in Swayman's mind, screwing him over time and time again over the last couple of years. So I think he absolutely won the negotiation. I think he deserves the negotiation he got. And the crew that I don't get, the group I don't get on social media,
what's the group?
Is the group that's like, ah, the Bruins handled this right the whole way. It's like, their goalie isn't ready for opening night.
The season starts tomorrow.
Their goalie yesterday. Isn't going to be out there for the start of the year on any other level.
Right.
Just focus on that. You don't need to bring anything else into it. Their goalie won't be there on opening night. How on earth can you say the Bruins handled this well?
Yeah, no, I don't think that they did. Now, if Swayman's able to sort of hit the ground running quicker, like doesn't need a long preseason,
yeah, we'll
if you will.
Yeah, we'll forget about all
forget
this.
About it, and it'll probably be fine. But no, I don't think it's the number that they wanted. I think maybe for the first time ever, because Sweeney got these great deals from Marchand for years, from Bergeron from years, even Chara at the end. All these guys signed. Everybody wanted to play in Boston. Kind of made his job easy. Pastrnak, they probably paid a little bit more than they wanted to. Not that he couldn't have gotten more.
Yeah,
I think he could have. But
they,
like,
they extended
that's a
themselves.
Big number for them.
Yeah, they'd never handed out a contract like that in franchise history.
And even McAvoy, I bet, was sort of the, all right, I think we have to do this. This is kind of the going rate. We can't lose him, but maybe a little bit more uncomfortable. Same thing, I think, happened with Swayman. You know, when they were going to get uncomfortable with Krug, they were like, all right, see you later. Like, we'll figure out something else. But with the goalie, I don't think they were really sure, and I don't think they loved this. Now, one thing I did see, I was trying to find the exact numbers, but the cap is going up, even though we kind of clown on the cap in the NHL compared to the other sports. But I think the percentage of cap dedicated to Swayman is still less than the cap dedicated to Rask in his final few years. Right, because Rask was a pretty high-paid goalie.
Really?
But
so Rask at, whatever,
seven. I think? Versus 8.25.
Yeah,
yes,
I mean,
the percentage is actually lower now. So maybe Sweeney and Neely can wrap their head around that. So I'm like, all right, we're still not overly investing, in their opinion, in that position. I am a little bit surprised, though, not to relitigate this, but Corpusalo, I know he's getting $1 million of his contract paid by Ottawa, but they're paying for three, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're paying 11.25 for goalies. That seems a little stiff.
That's a lot.
Wouldn't you rather have $1 million backup?
Yes.
But I mean, that's... You know, we can get into that, especially when it gets to the trade deadline and things like that, and like what they can and can't do. But that's one thing that's kind of surprises me.
So, some details on the contract. You know, you don't need the cash flow details. He's getting $8.25 million per year against the cap, AAV. Year 3 to 6, he has a full no-move clause. Year 7, he has a 10-team approved trade list. Year 8, he has a 10-team no-trade list. So, if I'm reading this properly... The first 2 years, you can move him wherever you want. Now, you don't necessarily want to do that, but there's a window in there where you can make a move if you want to early on in this contract.
Huh.
So there's maybe some wiggle room there, for the Bruins, where hopefully you don't run into the same issues you ran into with Linus Ullmark, for instance. Let me hear from Jeremy Swayman, by the way. There was one answer that I liked, and you guys can jump in on the phones. It's 617-779-7937. This was Jeremy Swayman on Cam Neely's comments from last week. Seems like a long time ago.
Yeah.
And his agent, Lewis Gross, his response, the statement. Here's Swayman on the back and forth.
After Monday, did you think this was going to get done? By now, what was your reaction to the comments on Monday from Cam? Did it help this deal get done?
You know, I lost track of days. I didn't know what day it was. So it was a day-by-day thing. And again, it's a negotiation. And I respect the fact that you have to ask these questions. And again, what I'm truly focused on is the future and the here and now. And everything else was a blur in my mind. And all I'm worried about is being in net for the Boston Bruins right now. And I'm overjoyed with it. So I'm really excited about that.
Okay, so that's Jeremy Swayman's thoughts on that.
Do you think he can let it go?
No, not really.
I don't think so. This was the guy that during the documentary thing, right? He was like, well, the sun will come out tomorrow.
Yes.
You're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, let's hope so. Not today. It's kind of rainy today.
No, well, not today.
Overall.
Right. But I got a lot of this, too. It's like, oh, you think he's pissed at the organization?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, no, I'm pretty positive he's pissed at the
organization. He definitely is.
He's still pissed about arbitration.
I know.
He's still mad about that.
I know.
So, yes, he's pissed. Now, will he go out and still play well this year? He's been pissed in the past and played. We know he was pissed last year.
Yeah. So
and
hopefully,
really
it
well.
Doesn't affect his play.
Right.
And I also don't know on a day to day how much he's going to see Sweeney or Neely once those checks start cashing. I'm sure that'll feel a lot better.
Right.
Right. Like the Jaylen Brown welcome to the NBA moment.
When
like,
did I know?
Swayman,
I was
like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
look at this.
Hang on.
Direct deposit looks pretty good. So maybe he will be able to put it behind him. And also, if the team is winning. Right, like we say with all the teams, we're talking about it with the Patriots. Like if they're winning, maybe things, it's easier to kind of put it behind them.
Yeah,
but it does feel like a guy that's going to hold on to it for a little bit.
Yeah, and just the relationship got damaged a little bit. They were able to come to an agreement, but that doesn't mean the relationship wasn't damaged by the negotiation. It would not be the first athlete that held that against the team. Not
but
by
you know
a
what's
mile.
Funny is the team basically turned a lot of the fan base against Swayman.
Well, that's what I find amusing. There was another answer he had where he's like, oh, I got so much support.
I don't know.
I was like,
you lost a lot of it.
There was a random fan up in Quebec that said 64 million or go home.
Or go get out of here.
So I guess that fan wants you to go home, by the way. You got 66.
You got more.
I guess they want you to go home. So, like, I don't think most of the fan base agrees with me and with him. I don't think most of the fan base does.
I think it's much like the who should play quarterback. It's more 50-50 than most people think. Like,
it's
there are
true.
A lot of anti- paying Swayman this kind of money, which
felt
all
an
does
incredible
is...
amount of support throughout this entire process. And
where,
like, now, who gave you that?
He has
like
his,
your mom, your dad, like your family. Like, who gave you that?
His Twitter filters are very specific.
That's so true.
Swayman equals great, but I just think the pressure is going to be way up on him. Right, that's now a guy who was kind of flying under the radar for a while. You know, Tuukka Rask faced it because Tuukka Rask was getting paid a lot of money.
Yep.
And was a great goalie who hadn't won. So he was a polarizing figure.
Yeah,
like Swayman
sure.
now, like overnight, I think is now a polarizing figure.
Well, yeah, he goes out and gives up 5 goals in his first
People
start.
Are all
he
over
is,
him.
He will definitely.
8 million for that?
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be our take at 10 the next day. I mean, I've
tune in to find out.
And so, look, the puck drops on their season potentially tomorrow, weather permitting, in South Florida. Your goalie's not ready for the opener. So I really don't want to hear how well the Bruins handled this and how skilled they are at negotiating. They caved. And Swayman won the negotiation. That's how I feel about it. You guys can jump in. Meanwhile, we'll work our way through your Patriots phone calls here on a Patriots Monday. Jones and Keith live at Gillette Stadium following the Pats' 15-10 loss to the Miami Dolphins. They're 1-4 with a quarterback change, it seems, finally on the horizon. Bruce is in Narragansett. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good show.
Thank you.
Do you guys know what a quag is?
Excuse me?
Do you know what a quag is? Quag?
I don't think so, but because, I have my finger on the dump button.
Can you say that on the radio?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, a hard shell clamp.
Okay.
Okay.
A quahog.
Yeah.
A quag.
Quag. I'm holding a bushel, and every one of these things moves better than Jacoby Brissett. I don't know what to do. I don't know where we're going, what the plan is, but it's rough. I didn't think I was going to go this far, but I miss the Red Sox, guys. This is terrible.
Wow.
Well, I missed the Red Sox.
Bruce, what a phone call. Now,
first of all, masterclass, knowing that we wouldn't get the joke sets up the joke so we would then get it.
Beautiful.
Rather than if he just started with, like, I got a bunch of quags and be like, dude, dump that. Dump that. Don't know what he's saying. No, that was well done.
Well done.
And they all move better than Jacoby Brissett. Good.
I always assumed it was a quahog is what I thought it was. But what do I know?
I thought it was like one of these like cryptids or something.
We said this about Brissett earlier. Like, I just remember coming in after the Cincinnati game. I'm like, man, I did not think Brissett moved that well. And it turns out he doesn't.
No.
It turns out he does not. That
Or is that a fresh legs thing?
Maybe. Like
he's pounded for 5 weeks.
Yeah, maybe. Right. He's just gotten his ass kicked. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that is. But, like, he moves so much better than I thought in the first game. I'm like, man, I might have undersold him, not as a quarterback, but, like, in the mobility department.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he doesn't move. He's like a bushel of quags.
Bushel of quags. That's what our way, though. Yeah, a bushel of quags.
I would love to.
Delicious.
So I was reading on in the last break, Phil Perry. NBC Sports Boston has some numbers on the offensive line. And this, to me, this is the – if you take everything else away and just try to evaluate the quarterback independently from everything else going on around him, it's difficult to do. We had this discussion all year last year with Mac Jones. But the best you can do to, like, focus it just on the quarterback play – Brissett was terrible last week. And I think that would be the impetus for the move. Maybe beyond even ownership flexing their muscles on this – and giving Jerod Mayo a nudge towards Drake May. Phil Perry says the numbers speak for themselves, and the Patriots need to do something offensively to change the direction in which they've been trending. They're 31st in the league in points per game, as I pointed out to Alex Van Pelt last week, 12.4.
See, I think you set it off on a bad note.
You think that's why he lashed out at you?
That wasn't nice.
31st in points per game, 31st in yards per game, 239.4, 31st in yards per play, 4.3. He says they're tied for last in the league in touchdowns. Their passing
game.
Who are
they tied with?
Good question. They're 5. They're probably
Miami.
Probably Miami.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be Miami. All right,
their passing game has been especially unproductive, averaging just 3.7 yards per pass play. Yikes. Again, 31st in the NFL. They're 30th in EPA per pass play, according to Next Gen stats. Here's where the numbers get interesting, though. After allowing 18 pressures on 37 dropbacks against the Dolphins, 49%, the Patriots have a 48% pressure rate, which ranks last in the league. Their offensive line has been an issue all year, but the pressure issues on Sunday were not solely related to the blockers up front.
Yep.
Of the 18 pressure dropbacks, the average time of pressure was 2.96 seconds, almost 3 seconds. Phil writes that's not an unmanageable number. For reference, the Chiefs have the second longest snap-to-pressure rate time in football this year, 2.99 seconds. So the Pats are almost as good as the Chiefs, who are number 2 in football.
They shouldn't play Mahomes.
Mahomes. Protect him. Don't break Pat. While there were 6 dropbacks that were generated in under 2 seconds, there were also 5 more pressures that came with 3.5 seconds or more after the snap. So 6 were less than 2, but 5 were greater than 3.5. They were giving him time.
Yeah, so that's my whole take is every time Jacoby Brissett gets hit, I think a lot of fans' reaction is, O-line's horrible, that would happen to Drake May, and he's done. Not true. If Drake May gets rid of the ball quick enough, the NFL wants to protect quarterbacks. So if they get hit too late, it's going to be a penalty.
Right.
So if Drake May drops back and spins it out of there before 2.9 seconds, he's not going to get hit on that play. Now, the offensive line isn't great. And they, you know, even yesterday, Nick Leverett overmatched. He gave up the vast majority of those pressures. Vidarian Lowe came back. It was actually pretty good. The guy who was kind of a punchline earlier on camp is actually a lifesaver right now at left tackle.
Well,
and on one who's playing guard.
I was just going to say, and on one who's way. He fits better at guard than he does at tackle, yes.
So they were in a much better situation yesterday. Also, they should have just ran the ball more, but that's a separate thing. But if you want to get the quarterback hit less, run the ball more, especially when the running game is doing so well and you have the lead and all of that stuff. But no, I think the last 2 weeks, you have to look at and say, man, just an above, just a slightly even below average quarterback. How much different does the offense look? Because those are two poor performances. I know Van Pelt didn't see it that way against the 49ers. I don't know what he thinks about this game. We're not going to talk to him for a couple of weeks. But that was...
That's an odd question.
Yeah, well, we got to ask it. We got to ask it because it was not very not very good.
I mean, his boss, or the head coach anyway, Jerod Mayo, was asked today about a switch in season of play caller.
Yeah.
Which Mayo shot down, but I'm sure if we could get Alex Van Pelt, he'd have a stance on that question.
Sure, no doubt.
I don't think he would have been a fan of that question. An odd question for sure.
No.
To Jerod Mayo. So rookie quarterbacks, meanwhile, playing very well throughout the NFL. It sounds like a change is afoot here in New England. Who do you think's behind that call? Is it Jerod Mayo? Is it Wolf? Is it Van Pelt? Is it ownership? Have the players, does this justify the mutiny report from last week? Last week they were teetering on a mutiny.
Hunter Henry shot down the teetering thing, but you know what he did? He was very complimentary to Drake May.
He called him a great player.
Great player.
A great player is
like
how
that.
He referred to Drake May.
I like that.
So yeah, maybe again, more tea leaves to read here on Jones and Keefe. It's Patriots Monday. We're live at Gillette Stadium. We'll get into that quarterback decision and rookie quarterback play throughout the NFL. If you haven't been paying attention, it's actually pretty good. And the Patriots should get in on the party. That's next.
That was Burt Breer yesterday on NBC Sports Boston prior to the Patriots and Dolphins. Real ugly game yesterday. Set football back, and the Patriots didn't win to boot. So will a change be happening? He said there yesterday he's closing in on becoming the best quarterback on the roster.
I mean, I think he's surpassed him now. I mean, I'm not there at practice, so we're all kind of speculating. But just based off what some of the players have said, Hunter Henry was heaped praise on Drake May.
Called him a great player.
Great player. Kind of like smiled when we asked him. Was like, thank God, like, is something I actually want to talk about?
And so that's true. If you want to read between the lines, and we were doing that earlier with Mayo.
You have to.
Although I think that one was very clear. Like, we got a squad meeting. We're going to talk things over with the quarterback. Risa seized on that. Schefter says between that and other sources, they're contemplating making a quarterback switch. But yeah, Hunter Henry does this thing, which all the players do. Talk to Gerard. That's a question for Gerard. Gerard, I'm not the head coach. That's not my call. Blah, blah, blah. But you asked him about Drake May, and he did say, well, yeah, he's a great player, and he gushed about him.
They're not going to ever, like, dump on a teammate. I mean, that almost never happened.
Yeah, you know what? I would like to bench Jacoby Brissett.
Nobody's going to say that, or I don't think anybody's going to overly – you can also read between the lines when it's fake praise. Like, for years – and I'm not going to single out who it was, but whether it be Patriots Monday or Friday, I remember asking guys about, like, N'Keal Harry, or asking about, like, some of these young players that weren't doing much. Oh, hard worker – you know, is doing the best to improve. Like, a lot of, if you just read it, you're like, oh, that's complimentary.
Yeah.
But nothing specific, nothing that was like, shows like a great skill. Certainly doesn't say great player, like point blank like that. So that one, I feel like he is telling the truth. And yeah, you don't want to bury one teammate to prop up another. So that was just him talking up Drake May. Like, I would assume Hunter Henry is very professional, right? So he's going to play hard for Jacoby Brissett, but I'm sure that's the kind of guy that would get a little shot in the arm if in came Drake May.
I mean, Drake's a great player.
Great player.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty good praise. And I just think, you know, as bad as they were, well, the Dolphins are also really bad. The Jaguars are really bad. The Titans are really bad. Like, there's a lot of close games in the NFL every single week between bad. Sometimes it's a good team that plays bad, and it's a close game. So it might only be the difference between a possession or two. And if you think you can get more out of it with Drake May, I feel like you owe it to the rest of the roster to make that switch.
Well, see, I agree with that. And here's why. I was just about to ask you this. What do you think they're – we don't know. It's impossible to prove.
Yeah.
What do you think their record would be with Drake May?
I think they win yesterday. Other than that, I mean, maybe Seattle. So, I mean, 2-3 or 3-2. That'd be my guess.
They'd at least be 2-3.
Yeah.
I think you could make a case they'd be 3-2.
Yeah, sure.
You know? Now, look, I mean, we could play this
game
all day.
They lost an overtime game, so, I mean, if you think you get better quarterback.
You could also say week one they would have lost to Cincinnati. So, like, you could say they're in the same spot. Maybe they win yesterday, but they would have lost to Cincinnati. And to that, I'd say, well, at least maybe you'd be trending in the right direction.
Well, I would say also based on the way Bo Nix and Caleb Williams, and I know people hate those comparisons because they're on different teams with different rosters. Like, okay, they're rookie quarterbacks that took over bad teams. They've also gotten better. So if Drake May started week one, I think yesterday there's a chance it's his best game. That's what those other two guys did.
Oh, right, exactly. It's trending in the right direction.
Maybe they blow out the Dolphins, for God's sakes. So if he starts next week for the first time, when they play the Dolphins again in week 12, he'll be better in my mind. He might be a lot better had you started him week one. And it doesn't mean it just goes up on a curve. Like Caleb Williams will never have a bad game or Bo Nix will never have a bad game again. But it just feels like those guys have learned from some of their mistakes early in the season and already are showing dividends.
So let's not even play the wins game. Like they'd have two or three wins.
Yeah.
Let's just say Jacoby Brissett starting in week one helped you win against the Bengals. You would have had to sacrifice that win.
Okay.
But yesterday you could win that game with Drake May, then at least you're trending in the right direction, unlike heading in the wrong direction like this team losing four in a row. Let's even say they'd be 1-4 in both cases.
Yeah, but you'd still feel better.
You'd feel better if you won yesterday. You'd feel like you're onto something. And I do think just the talk of making a quarterback switch lends credence to the Evan Lazar report that they were teetering on a mutiny. That they lost. They were teetering on a mutiny and they lost, and now we're talking about a quarterback switch. Probably because the locker room is ready to blow up if they don't make a switch. And here's why, Keith. They all watch SportsCenter, or they all see the highlights or whatever on Instagram or wherever they're getting their news these days.
Right.
And they all see what Caleb Williams is doing. They all see what Bo Nix is doing. They definitely all see what Jaden Daniels is doing. And they go, how come the Commanders are ready for a rookie quarterback and we're not?
Mm-hmm.
How come the Broncos
are ready for a rookie quarterback and we're not. The Bears, to me, Caleb Williams has a lot there. So if you want to say that's a different example, fine.
Maybe not on this offensive line.
No, that's true.
But yeah, but it's receivers for sure.
And they have a really, really good defense there in Chicago. Like, they were a good defense last year. Yep. Like, there might be more to that team. Fine. They're not a true bottom of the barrel team like the Commanders are and like the Broncos are and like the Patriots are. But they all look at it and go, those guys are ready for a rookie quarterback and we're not? What the hell?
Well, that's also, it is. It's such a slap in the face to them, right? Like, you're the reason Drake May's not playing. Like, you being like all the guys on offense, basically. Like, all of you guys, if you guys were better, then Drake May would be playing.
Yeah.
We're protecting, that's what they're protecting him from, is your poor play. That's what it looks like from the outside.
Right. You guys suck so much.
He can't play him.
We need to save him from himself because you guys are so bad.
Another professional athlete.
That's a good
can't
point.
Go on the field because of you. That's what they're saying.
Chuck is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Best combo since Doak Walker and Bob Hornschmeyer. No, I'm just
love that. That's high praise.
Wow. Yeah. Which one is which?
Nah, how about Keith loves receivers. How about Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell?
Oh, nice. Very underrated duo. Jimmy Smith would carve up the 2000 Ravens. Oh, go back and look at those box scores.
So you want Jimmy Smith?
I'm Jimmy Smith.
I'll take McCardell. I'll take that.
I was going to say, Keith, no offense, Keith's Jimmy Smith because he's the better one.
No offense.
No, I mean, no offense. No, none. Yeah.
But you guys have a great show. I love it. But anyway, the Patriots, it's just been, it's been really rough, and I'm kind of just watching, it's just got the whole bad news Bears feel. Like, they're, all the pre-snap penalties, multiple false starts. We have the 12 men on the field on the punt, so it's basically a turnover because the Dolphins got a first down off of that. You know, all these kind of uncharacteristic pre-snap penalties. And then on top of that, you look at what else is going on the team. Hopefully it's, something that's not as bad as it seems, but the whole Jabril Peppers thing, and he's a captain.
We haven't really even touched on that yet, Chuck. I mean, Lanny's had that in trending here and there, but that is I don't even know what you do with that. It's just Jabril Peppers wasn't going to play anyway, I don't think, although maybe this impacted his status on the team. But horrific details coming out on that.
It is one of those, to the caller's point, not making light of that situation, but just – it's not a really bad football season until you also have off-field stuff thrown on top of it.
That's true. And it speaks to, again, an organizational lack of discipline. And so let's get into some of the on-fields that we talked a ton today about the quarterback, rightfully so. And you guys continue to do that. 617-779-7937. Patriots Monday, Jones and Keefe live at Gillette Stadium. We've talked to Hunter Henry today, Christian Gonzalez today, Devon Godchow. We'll get all your thoughts on why the Patriots are 1-4. Who do you blame for where they're at? Some very poor coaching yesterday. Poor play, poor approach in the offseason. So we'll cover all of that with your thoughts next.